In the precious name of Jesus, the Lamb of God, in whose name we come, amen. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you will, if you brought them this evening. If not, you may want to take one of the pew Bibles to look at our text. We'll actually look just a little before our text at the center part, if you will, of Luke chapter 13. If you're a visitor with us this evening, we welcome you. If you're a visitor with us tonight and you don't have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the pew Bibles as our gift to you so that you can study and read God's Word, His precious Word, at home. May God bless my speaking and your hearing. For Jesus' sake, amen. Luke chapter 13, beginning around verse 22, says that Jesus was preaching and teaching in the cities and villages all around the people of Israel. He was preaching and teaching the good news. Jesus said that people would be coming from everywhere, from east and west, from north and south. And as they came, they would be seeking a place with Him. They were seeking a place in God's heavenly kingdom. And Jesus said, they will find it only by finding it in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said in John chapter 14. And in Luke chapter 13, Jesus tells them that He's the narrow way, that unless you come through Jesus, there's no way to be received by the Heavenly Father. No way to heaven except through Jesus, the narrow gate. It's in that context, then, that Jesus continues His preaching and teaching, and finally He comes near to Jerusalem, which is where our text for this evening takes place. And as Jesus comes near to Jerusalem, the scribes and the Pharisees, we're told, come out to Jesus, and they meet Him, and they do the strangest thing. The Pharisees warn Jesus that Herod is looking for Him. You think, why in the world would they do that? Didn't the Pharisees hate Jesus? The answer is, yes, they did. But you know, we've got the expression that politics make strange bedfellows. You know, we use that expression when we think about politics because sometimes the most unusual gather together for the same purpose or the same goal. Maybe it's the Republicans all lined up. Maybe it's the Democrats all lined up. Maybe it's North and South. Maybe it's rich and poor. It could be conservative and liberal. Whatever their politics are, seeking their goal, they band together in unusual ways. Well, I wonder about the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees hated Jesus, but I wonder if they didn't hate Herod all that much more. And because they hated Herod, they wanted to thwart the Pharisees' plans. The Pharisees wanted to thwart Herod's plans, and that's why they warned Jesus off. Now, maybe it was that they just wanted to get rid of Jesus, and the easiest way they thought they could do that was tell Him that His life was in danger, and maybe He'd skedaddle and run. But Jesus does none of that. In our text, Jesus speaks harshly about Herod. As a matter of fact, I think this is the harshest He speaks of any individual anywhere in Scripture. And what He says to the Pharisees is, go tell that fox Herod that I'm not about to turn tail and run. When He speaks of Herod as a fox, He compares him to one who is sly, one who's insignificant and worthless. And He says, go tell Herod that I must be about my Father's business today and tomorrow and the next day. Go tell Herod that I'm casting out the demons and I'm healing the sick. And I will be about this work today and tomorrow and the next day virtually as long as it takes to accomplish why I've come. Why I've come is to do the will of my Father in heaven. That's why I've come. I've come to bring salvation to the world, and I will not be stopped until that salvation has come. Jesus came ultimately to pour out His life as a ransom for you and for me and for the sins of the world, to turn us away from death and destruction, to be that narrow way who receives us to the Father in heaven. I must do what the Father has sent me to do. What Jesus in effect says is, Herod's not in charge, God's in charge. Herod's not in charge, but my Father's will is the will that will be accomplished. No matter what the world puts in its way, I will be about my Father's business. Pastor Myers, a couple of weeks ago, preached for us from a few chapters earlier than our text, from Luke chapter 7. And in Luke chapter 7, Jesus speaks about Isaiah chapter 61. And in Isaiah 61, what Jesus says is, I am the Messiah. I'm the one that was predicted. I am the one who is to come. I will be the one who the prophets have long told was coming. I am he. I'm the one who will give sight to the blind. I'm the one who will help the lame walk again. I'll cure the lepers. I'm the one who will give hearing to those who are deaf. I will raise the dead from the dead and give them life again. I will preach the good news to the poor. I am the Messiah who was predicted to come, and as you see this work, as I cast out demons and as I heal and do all the work of my Father, you will know that I am the Messiah, the one who has come. Jesus comes to Jerusalem. And Jesus looks at Jerusalem, and with a tender cry, a tender call, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Not just the city, but the people of that city. Don't you hear? Listen. Know who it is who's coming among you. Know why I have come. I have come to bring the Father's love and to bring you the forgiveness of sins. But you see, his call is not just to Jerusalem. His call is to all the world. I hope that you hear tonight Jesus calling to this place. Jesus calling to all the world, surely, and Jesus calling to our country. United States, people of the United States, hear the message, hear my call. And to the people of Kansas, Kansans, Kansans, listen, because I've come for you. And you hear him calling, Wichita, Wichita, I have come for all your people, people of Holy Cross, I have come for you. And my desire is to gather you to myself, because I am the narrow way. And as you come to me and come through me, you will have peace. You will have forgiveness. You will have the gift of eternal life. As Jesus calls in our text to Jerusalem, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you, just like the hen gathers the chicks to herself. Now, most of us probably don't think of the chicken, the hen, as a fierce bird of war. Maybe we think instead of the eagle of the United States. But how strong and how aggressive chickens can be, hens, for the sake of their chicks. A story is told about a farmer who went out to the hen house one morning and saw that several of the hens lay dead. They were dead, and what he recognized as he looked carefully at the heads of those hens is that there was a wound on each of those heads. And it looked, as he looked at those bodies, as though all the blood had been drained from those hens' bodies. And in fact, it had. He looked carefully, and he could see the place where a weasel had gotten in, into the hen house, and how the weasel had latched on to the heads of the hens and bit them and sucked out every drop of blood. But then when he moved the bodies of the hens, what he saw was chicks, very much alive. You see, any of those hens could have gotten up, could have gotten away, could have rescued themselves, but they chose not to. What they did instead was to give up their lives for the chicks who were still warm and safe and alive under the dead bodies of their mothers. Jesus, in the same way, calls to Jerusalem. He calls to the whole world today. He calls to Kansas and Wichita and to us. And he says, "How I would gather you to myself. It's my desire that you come through me to the Father and that you receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life." So who does Jesus call to today? Well, I think he calls to people of every nation, every tribe and people. He calls non-Christians too to come to saving faith in him alone. He calls those of every generation, fathers and grandfathers and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, he calls every people to himself. He calls the crowds, the multitudes, because he wants all people everywhere to know that he is Lord and Savior. He calls to those who are young and to those who are old, so that they might hear his call, that they might come through saving faith to the love of the Heavenly Father. That Father who created the world, the Father who created every human being, the Father who sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And what is it that he wanted to say to Jerusalem? What is it that he says to us and to all our world? Well, he calls them and he calls us to repentance, to turn away from sin and death and the power of the devil, to come back to the Heavenly Father. I hope you know that that's what the word repent means. Repent means to be headed in one direction, diametrically opposed to God and his will, and then by God's grace, to be turned around. To be turned around, to go in his way, his direction, according to his will, ultimately to be saved. And that always and only happens in Jesus. Jesus, who is that narrow way, the one who calls us to himself, to the love of the Heavenly Father. Who is Jesus calling? Well, he's calling you, and he's calling me. But he's calling not just us, he calls through us to those too who need to hear and know him as Lord and Savior. He's calling through you to your neighbors and friends and classmates, to those who don't know him as Lord and Savior. Who's not here tonight that you know could be here tonight? Who's not here tonight and who hasn't been here many of our Saturdays for worship because they've fallen away? Jesus is calling you to call them to repentance and back to himself, to Jesus, the narrow way. He invites us to pray for them, to invite them, to encourage them so that they too can know the trueness of God's love in Christ Jesus, comfort and peace and forgiveness. Ultimately, he calls you and me and all the world into his own loving arms. I don't know if you see it well on this image, but you see the chains are loosed. The chains of sin and death. And in this man's hand is the crown of eternal life given in Christ Jesus. And on the red carpet to which Jesus invites all to come is the crown of thorns that Jesus took on our behalf. And in the background, the white robe of Christ's righteousness that he would give to each of us when we come to him who is the narrow way. May God bless you and strengthen you this night so that you might hear his call to you to come, to repent, and to live a full life to his glory and for your good and to the benefit of those around you. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, the narrow way, our Savior. Amen.